Thank you for your prayers this last week. We were richly supported and most grateful. I came home a day early. The rest of the team probably about now is flying over Newfoundland on their way home. So, again, we thank you. We have been making our way this year through the blessings that Jesus gives. We've grown familiar with them because a bunch of them are gathered right at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've read them many times. They've become familiar to our ears. But let me remind you of just how odd these blessings are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Really? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Every blessing Jesus uttered was just like so new. So different. He's describing a new and different kingdom. And yet each of those blessings could be told in one saying until he got to the last one. And it was so out there that he had to circle back around and repeat it in different words. That's the blessing we're reading today, along with an example of some people who began to live in that blessing in the earliest months of the church's life. We'll be reading in Acts chapter 5 and before that in Matthew chapter 5. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord, it's your Word. You inspired it. And we pray that your Spirit would be in our midst to inspire us in the hearing. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 10. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then in Acts chapter 5, "And when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, you're at the beach, out playing in the surf, body surfing, splashing, running around, and after a while you look up at the beach and you realize that you're about 100 yards down the beach from where you started. You're no longer right there in front of where you parked your umbrella and your beach chair. You went out into the water knowing that the waves would come against you, and so you were keeping an eye on the waves, but what you couldn't see was that beneath the waves, there was this current pushing sideways up the beach, and you weren't aware of that, and gradually, each time your foot left the bottom, it moved you a little bit further up the beach. And then once you realized that, then you leaned into that current and began to hold your place. Now, I give you that picture because actually this goes on all the time. Always there are currents that are pushing us off of the place where we know that we need to be. As followers of Jesus, we've been given an identity. We've been given a way of life that fits who we are as Jesus' people. And there are a lot of currents, many of which we don't see, that would sweep us apart from who we want to be with Jesus. They press us, and they press us. And a lot of times we don't know it, and we look up at some point and we realize that we're not where we thought we were. We're not being who we thought we were being. And as we identify those currents, then we get more intentional about holding our place. Now, I lift that up as a topic worthy of several sermons by itself, but that's not our topic for the day. There's a blessing that comes in holding your place against those kind of currents, but it's a little b blessing. And we're looking at a greater challenge that comes to us, which is this: the challenge of holding our place when the current that comes against us becomes a raging current. There is a blessing in holding your place against the unseen currents of culture and events. But as I said, it's a little bee blessing. This is a picture of a salmon swimming upstream against a raging current. And it's a good picture of the kind of capital B blessing that comes to us when we go in the way of Jesus against the current that has become raging against his way. Jesus gave a double blessing at this point because he was talking about something very intense. And that doesn't happen to us all the time in life, but it does happen. It comes our way. He was talking about something akin to what the salmon experiences when it swims upstream. When I showed this picture to our publication secretary, Lynn, she said, "Ooh, a dead fish." I said, "No, actually it's not dead, it's still alive. But I don't know if you can see it on the screen, it's cut up a good bit and it's bruised because it's pressing against a raging current and making its way up the stream. And doing so comes with a pretty good beating." If you've been to the Pacific Northwest at the right time of year, you can see these salmon swimming upstream. When I was 7, we lived in Seattle, and Mom and Dad took us out at the right time of year. I still remember seeing all of these salmon out in the river struggling to make their way up against the white water, and they were bruised and bloody. Remember, if you remember basic biology, the life cycle of the salmon. Salmon are spawned in freshwater streams, and they live in those early months in those streams until they're ready to swim downstream and into the ocean. And then they live in the ocean from 3 to 5 years. And something then clicks and they know that it's time to go back up the stream. And somehow they find the stream from which they came. And they swim up that stream and they struggle to get up to the place where they were spawned. And they lay their own eggs. Only now, they're not the little fish being swept down the current. They're the big fish. And they're going against the current. And it's hard. It's a real battle. And when they finally get to that place upstream, they lay their eggs, thousands of eggs, and soon after they die. Now think with me. A salmon's still a salmon out in the tranquil waters. But if the salmon does not at some point swim upstream against the raging current, when it's time, then salmon life ceases. There are no more salmon. There are seasons when the salmon can no longer just go with the flow. There are seasons when the salmon, to be the salmon in the fullest sense of its salmon life, has to go against that raging current. Part of being a salmon is swimming upstream. Now, it's natural and quite enjoyable to go with the flow. And a lot of times, that's perfectly fine. God gives us tranquil seasons, fun times. But we live for Jesus. And so, we go with Him where He goes. And if you've read the Gospel, then you know where Jesus went wasn't always with the flow. In fact, He stood against a lot of currents in His day, and sometimes He was swimming against a raging current, which in His case literally brought bruising and bleeding. And now that we're His people, we go where He goes, and we go as He goes, which means that sometimes we too go against a raging current, which brings bruising and bleeding. After Jesus had been with His disciples for a few months, He began to teach them more deeply about what it would be like to follow in His way in that Sermon on the Mount. And I can imagine Him looking at those His disciples in those earliest months with great love and delight and imagining the blessings that were coming to bear in their lives. And so He would speak that blessing and He would see them and know that this blessing would come to those very people He was talking to. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He could see them. Theirs would be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. The world doesn't bless the meek, but Jesus blesses the meek, and there they were before Him. They will inherit the earth. And I bet his eyes twinkled as he said it, just knowing the delight that was coming to them as followers in his way. And he could play this out in his mind. What would become of Peter and James and Mary Magdalene and all the rest? They would flourish in his life, in his blessing. But Jesus knew that these first few Beatitudes did not describe the full reality of his kingdom, or for that matter, how it would work for him. For in the Beatitudes, Jesus was first and foremost describing himself. He is the blessed one in whom we have these blessings. He is the poor in spirit. He is the meek one. He is the peacemaker. And in his life, we have this life ourselves and we have this blessing. But he knew that for him, the raging current was coming. And that this most mysterious and intense blessing of all would be the primary means by which he would spawn life for us all, for each of us. And he knew that we as his followers would get to, that if we go in his way, we would have to come to the place where we follow him upstream, where there is bruising and bleeding. It's not that our sufferings bring life in the same way his sufferings do. He is uniquely the suffering servant whose suffering and death brought life for the world. But somehow, in the blessing that he had in that, we are blessed as we reflect that as we serve him. Doubly blessed. And so Jesus concludes this list of blessings with this most intense blessing of all. A double description of this puzzling blessing that comes to those who are persecuted. I'm putting his blessing words back before you because I want to go through them with you in some detail. These Beatitudes, each one we read, we think, okay, I've got it, simple enough. And then you marinate in it a little bit and you realize, oh my goodness, there's so much here. And it's doubly so with this double blessing at the end. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Check out that central word, persecuted. You know what that means. There's no hidden meaning here. You can go back to the original language and it means what we mean in English. It means being harassed. It means being troubled or maltreated. It means being beat up on, sometimes physically or socially, sometimes beat to death. And when you read through the Gospels, you see what Jesus had to say in other places about following him, even into these suffering places. He was not saying, if you are persecuted, read through the Gospels. He's always saying, when you are persecuted. He knew it was coming. And as Jesus looked in the eyes of those that he was blessing in these ways, he knew that they would, in God's time, also enter into this particular blessing. Now, it's more intense for some Christians in some times and places, but it's not an optional dish. We don't get to walk down the smorgasbord of the Christian life and kind of pick and choose our favorites and leave aside the ones that we don't want. It comes with the Christian life. Suffering for Jesus is no more optional for us than swimming upstream is optional for a salmon. It's just part of what comes with the Christian life. It comes with being a Jesus person. If you follow Jesus, you will be persecuted. And Jesus wants you to know that even this is part of the blessed life. It's not as if the blessing is extensive until you get to that part and then you got to deal with cursing until you get to the blessing again. No, he blesses even that. So look at his words. What did Jesus say that we're persecuted for? Well, it's not for being obnoxious. I mean, as they say, there were three people crucified that day, and two of them deserved what they got. Sometimes Christians come in for abuse because they're obnoxious or because they've dishonored the name of Jesus by the way they live and speak. And that's not being persecuted. Persecution that Jesus is talking about is for righteousness' sake. He's talking about what happens when you live in His way and love in His way in a world that's going a different direction. When you obey the Father, and when you love people, when you love all people, when you do your best to live in the way that the Lord has told you to live as a person of Jesus, then you will find yourself at points going against a current that becomes a raging current. And there's more. That word righteousness can also be translated as justice. And the translators in each place have to make a choice whether to translate that particular Greek word in this context as righteousness or as justice, when in fact it bears both meanings all the time. Now think how we use those two words. If you live righteously in your relationships, we think of it as treating people the right way, treating them like Jesus would be treating them. When you do so, you'll find yourself swimming upstream at points because this world doesn't treat people that way. And there are lots of reasons and lots of currents in our lives that would put us to not treating people righteously in our relationships. And so when we swim against that stream, there is bruising and bloodiness simply by trying to live righteously in this world. By like token, if you live for Jesus, you will be a person who is concerned for justice. We tend to think of righteousness as an individual matter, as a matter of personal relationships. Justice, we tend to think, as a larger matter of how life works for the larger mass of people, where some people end up being mistreated and unjustly used, and no one is standing up for them. They get lost or they get ground under the wheels. And Jesus wants us, as His people, to have an eye for them as Jesus had an eye for them. That we would be a people not just of righteousness, but also of justice. And if you stand up for justice in a world that is going the opposite direction, there will be bruising, there will be bleeding for the sake of Jesus. Blessed are those who are persecuted and abused and harassed and hounded and hurt for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of justice, for the sake of Jesus. His words are loaded, aren't they? And there's more. Look at how Jesus came back to the blessing a second time, this time describing what you're persecuted for in a different way. Persecuted for my account. Persecuted for me. It's not just about doing right. It's not just about doing justice. It's about Jesus. Jesus was persecuted not just for doing right, but simply for being Himself. For being the loving, righteous presence of God in the midst of an unloving and unrighteous world. His very presence confronted the world with its brokenness and its sin. He was offensive in that way. There was something about Jesus that set people on edge because He would not go with the flow. Even who He was went against the current. And so it is for those who live for Him. By claiming Jesus, by yielding to His claim on you, by naming Him in particular, by bearing His presence with you as you go out into the world, you get the same reaction that He got. Just by being His person in that place, you get pulled into the world's reaction to Jesus. And so He says, you will be persecuted on my account. Not on your account, but on my account. Now listen to this another way. This is Jesus saying, don't worry, it's not about you. It's about me. And by the way, it's not about your rights. It's not about your rights being violated. It's about me. Now understand that as Americans, you have certain rights, such as the right to religious freedom. And we need to do all that we can to protect that right. It's a rare right in the larger scheme of human history. We're a small minority of people who have enjoyed the right to religious freedom. We need to do all that we can to preserve that right for ourselves and for Muslims and for Jews and for atheists. It's a gift for all of us in this land. It's to be treasured and preserved. But it's not ultimate. And it's not an exemption that is given to you as a Christian who happens to live in America. Jesus did not say, "Blessed are you when you're persecuted, except those of you who live in America, this will never come your way because you live in a land of religious freedom." Not so. Now, we may not in our day be bruised and bloodied for following Him. But if you follow in the way of Jesus, you will be swimming upstream, and sometimes the current will be raging, and there will be social and professional and relational penalties that are paid for following in the way of Jesus. And it's really not about you, and it's not about your rights. It's about Jesus. So when you stand up and try to preserve the right to religious freedom, make sure that you're doing so in a way that does not put that above who you are as a follower of Jesus. You seek to serve all by preserving the right, and you seek to do so in a way that is congruent with who Jesus is. And in that way, we don't make it about ourselves. We make it all about Him. For in fact, it is. And what should you do when bruising ends up coming your way? Rejoice and be glad. What? Is that crazy? Well, Jesus says, because even in that place you're blessed. It's not as if you move from blessing to cursing to blessing to cursing in this life. Jesus has claimed the whole of your life and blessed it all, even the hardest parts. You're blessed with the kingdom of heaven, blessed with a reward that's great in heaven. You're blessed because you're standing with the prophets and the saints who've gone before you in the way of Jesus. You get to stand with them, some of whom walked in a bruising and bloody way, even to death. They were doubly blessed. And when you stand alongside, you're in that zone of double blessing yourself. Wow! What kind of kingdom is this? Where even the hardest parts of life become blessed. Well, it's the kind of kingdom that happens when you have a king like Jesus. And it's only in His kingdom where this most surprising of blessings would extend to the full extent of life. You know who got that? Finally? Who finally got that? Well, His apostles. Now think who these guys were. These were the same guys who had abandoned Jesus when Jesus began to take the bruising for them. They ran. They ran and hid. But you know the story continues. He rose from the dead. He sought them out. They met Jesus risen from the dead, and then He sent His Spirit upon them. He poured His own Spirit upon them, and when the Spirit of the Blessed One comes upon us, we bear the blessings that He did, including this last and double blessing. And so Acts 5 is one of the many stories in the book of Acts that describes how His people entered into this double blessing. This particular story was some months, maybe even a year or two after Jesus' resurrection. The apostles who had once fled the authorities, now, if you look up the page a little bit from that passage, they were out in the open, out on the streets there in Jerusalem, walking right into the temple courts and teaching about Jesus and doing what Jesus did. They healed the sick, they delivered the demonized right out there in the midst of the crowds. These same guys that had once fled now were just very bold. And it wasn't just the apostles, it was a bunch of His followers. And they'd already been in trouble. If you read up in chapter 4, they've already been arrested, but they weren't backing up. In fact, they just got bolder. They were doing Jesus' life in Jesus' way, come what may. And Jesus had told them exactly what would come. And it did. He said, you will be persecuted, and in that you will be blessed just like me. So we read this conclusion of chapter 5, where in fact they were persecuted, they were beaten. They weren't killed this time, some of them later would be, but they were flogged. They had a whip taken to their backs. And then they were put out into the street, bloodied for Jesus. And what did they do? Well, they did what Jesus told them several years before. They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. Now, that's crazy, right? But it's crazy in a Jesus sort of way. They were teaching about Jesus and doing His kind of ministry, and they went right back to it. They were blessed, doubly blessed. These Acts stories are there to give us case studies in how this looks for plain Jesus people to follow in the way of Jesus. And what happens when they go against a current that becomes raging? There's blessing there. And we do well to meditate upon this, because the current will come our way if we follow in the way of Jesus. It helps us to be primed and ready when the current turns against us. And there are other examples that you can ponder through the New Testament, and then across the centuries of the church's life, people who have suffered for the sake of Jesus. I was honored this week to meet one of them in Egypt. This picture is Selene. I'm not showing her face because we put our sermons up on the internet, and I don't want to cause her any additional harm. But Selene was standing in front of Sarah and me in worship this week. She's 20. She and her husband were baptized about 2 months ago. She from a Muslim background. Selene's her new Christian name. They gave her that as she was baptized. I didn't get to meet her husband, but she was there on Sunday evening when we worshiped, and then again on Friday when we worshiped. And then sometime during the week, I forget when, maybe Thursday, I got to pray with her. It was interesting to me. She's a pretty standard 20-year-old young lady. She's gotten married. She wants to be pretty. She wears lots of eye makeup, has some jewelry. She has hopes and dreams of what her married life will be. Egyptian law allows for people to convert from Islam into Christianity. There's a whole lot of legal machinery they have to go through to be legal to do that, but not until you're 21. So at the age of 20, being baptized, she's broken the law, and she's broken the expectations of her family, and they're out to find her. And I don't know what will happen when they do. But she's moving from place to place with her new husband, just living with one person and then another. And she's found her way to this church with which we're partner. She has a squeaky voice. She talks with the hopes and vocabulary of a young woman. And in the providence of God, already at that age, she's in the place of double blessing, not even knowing fully what that means. But such are the ways of God. You see the stories. I mean, we read about this. We hear the testimonies from North Korea, from the Middle East, from places in Africa, sometimes even here in the United States. And it's our privilege to stand with these persecuted in prayer and to ponder upon their lives, so that when the current comes against us and becomes raging, that we too might honor Jesus. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. It's the most mysterious of His blessings. It's the double blessing. It's a blessing that in one way or another He brings to us all in His time. So what should you do? He tells us, rejoice and be glad. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, would we be so favored as to walk in Your way, to live life as You lived it, to honor You by walking in all the ways You walked. We would find that our highest purpose and glory and joy. We want all that we are and all that we do to point to You. We give thanks for those doubly blessed. And we understand that Your double blessing will come to us as well. We pray in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.